Welcome to the Good Hard Story Podcast, where we believe that the good story and the hard story can be the exact same story. I'm Catherine Wolf, and I'm a stroke survivor, a speaker, an author, and co-founder of Hope Heals. Tune in here every week for conversations about wholeheartedly living in a good hard story. Join me in this joyful rebellion to the darkness where we discover the treasures hidden in our hurting. Hey friends, today I wanted to just take our time together and share a few things that are on my heart that I've been thinking through and processing, and I pray these will bless you in your own good, hard story. So without further ado, let me jump in and tell you that I think so much of our lives is about living with open hands. And while extremely difficult to do for most of us, I think it is the key to any measure of joy in life is living open-handedly, knowing that we do not control the outcome. We never did. And it's painful. I'm going to read you actually something from Suffer Strong that I wrote about opening our hands. It's from the chapter Opening Our Hands, Redefining Loss. I admit it. I am a high expectation, high performing person. It's very hard for me to not know the plans and to release control of outcomes. Honestly, I hate surprises. I've never been great at letting go and still showing up. But the experience of nearly losing it all has made it clear that outcomes are not mine to choose. I don't know about you, but living open-handedly yet wholeheartedly creates a major tension in me. In fact, doing these two opposing things simultaneously can feel nearly impossible. If I have to lose, why put myself back in the expectant and vulnerable place where I could be hurt and disappointed by losing again? This way of thinking would make sense if opening our hands resulted only in loss and hurt and disappointment. But I'm a living example that it does not. Loss is not an ending, but a new beginning. It's not just a letting go into the unknown, but a letting go into God's perfect love. If we listen, we can hear God whisper, "Now, with your hands open, you are free to receive more of me." Our tears of loss can plant seeds of the kind of hope that survives anything. If you have Suffer Strong, that was from pages 81 and 82. And it's kind of hilarious that it brings me to tears since I wrote those words. And yet that concept moves me very deeply, especially as so many sweet friends, probably in the last, I'd say, 10 years, who have found our ministry or connected to our ministry and to me specifically, are in seasons of deep loss and just wondering how to get out of bed in the morning after their world's been turned upside down, or honestly, totally not, just how to get up to an ordinary day in a life that there is little losses constantly happening in each one of our stories. And you know what? The loss thing is consistent while we are on earth. It's really funny. If you're under any illusion that there is not going to be losses that happen throughout life, you're in denial. John 16:33 is true. In this world, we will have trouble. But the reality is that doesn't just mean big, dramatic, constant loss. That means little losses all the time, every day, in small situations. And it can be very difficult to know how to deal with loss in all of our stories, all kinds of loss. And I do think a discussion of looking at loss differently is so important to cope. Seeing our perspective on what it means to lose and honestly what it means to gain. You know, I think so much of redefining loss is about redefining good, God's goodness. Several years ago now, goodness, in 2012, so 11 years ago, I was at a conference with Sarah Groves, who is an amazing songwriter out of Minneapolis. Some of you may know her or her music well. She's just an incredibly talented musician. And Sarah played this beautiful song at the conference, and the lyrics and the thinking of the words have really honestly changed me. The song is called Open My Hands, and I'm sure we can link to it in the show notes, but she writes and sang beautifully that incredible, glorious weekend at a Seasons conference. The opening lyrics say, I believe in a blessing I don't understand. I've seen rain fall on the wicked and the just. Rain is no measure of his faithfulness. He withholds no good thing from us. And that's based obviously on the truth of Psalm 84:11, that no good thing does he withhold. And I'm sure for a lot of you listening and for pretty much everybody in the world, we wonder, could that possibly be true? Could God withhold no good thing when we see lives ravaged every day from people who were walking uprightly with the Lord and they got horrific diagnosis and financial ruin and major relational fallout and every tragedy in between, that life is very, very hard? How could God withhold no good thing? So after Sarah sang that gorgeous song, I raced over to her in the wheelchair. So rolling over to Sarah and just said, Sarah, talk to me about how you got there, how you got to the point to recognize this and write those glorious words and tell me about your process. I want to think like that. I want to understand. And in my own life, because of the massive stroke and subsequent disability and major suffering out of absolutely nowhere, I want to understand how God's goodness is not connected to my situation and how God's withheld no good thing. And she pointed me ultimately to a theologian named Sir Richard Baker, who was from the 1600s, wrote, and it had for sure changed my life, that the good things of God, the truly good things of God, cannot be taken because they are not things at all. The truly good things of God, the best things of God, are peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Spirit, the fruition of his presence in this life, and the assurance of his face in the next. He writes on that of these things we can know God will never withhold because they are not things that the world could ever touch. And that to me is the game changer, that nothing in this physical world is the goodies anyway. And that's what's almost hard to wrap your mind around in our world, that God's goodness is not connected to anything in this physical world. Nothing connected to our circumstances, our situation, none of that. And that's pretty changing of your perspective on suffering, deep suffering, that the good things are here. Because honestly, the way we grow up, we are socialized to believe that the good things in life are when we feel good and when we look good and when we get the goodies and we've got all the good trappings. That, of course, that is the good life. That is good, right? And I don't think I would ever identify as, I don't think most in my circles would, as big believers and subscribers to the prosperity gospel. That seems somewhat preposterous. And yet, don't we all believe some version of that deep down, that if we're good, we'll get good. And if we're doing the good, right thing, then we'll get the good, right stuff. And we're not remotely promised that. Where do we get that? Where do we hear that? Where do we think that? That the good life can't include extremely painful moments, but that has nothing to do with God's goodness that is already inside of us. You know, it's fascinating. I heard a missionary say years ago that in America, people will get together and pray away whatever is happening in their story that is not perfect. Like if somebody gets a diagnosis, gather a small group and pray it away. Or if somebody has a, you know, financial issue, then pray for changes or whatever. But, and those prayers are not bad, my goodness. Those are wonderful prayers and should be prayed. But those are B-list prayers. That the A-list of prayers in countries that just think differently, perhaps, than us in the Western world. They pray, Lord, let me steward this deep challenge. Let me point to you and be faithful. Let me point others around me to you by my response to this adversity. Let me not lose heart. Let me not grow weary because of this trial, Jesus, but let me honor you in it. Let me see my life as an assignment. And just on and on. Do you see what I'm saying? Like many, this missionary said, and I completely agree, many think differently about suffering as it is a part of life. It will come to you. Thus, we must decide how we will respond to it, not just reeling and not thinking about it. You know, I think so many times, especially as a good Christian woman, we think the response to suffering is put your head down, like be the good Christian soldier and keep doing the right thing and putting one foot right in front of the other. And that's the good way to face adversity, instead of let me think about this. Let me not just go into emergency mode and turn off my brain and be the robot soldier, but instead let me think through and process what God could be doing in my story. Let me somehow slow down enough to put the wreckage together and potentially even cultivate some gratitude for what remains. That's a pretty powerful, game-changing statement, I think, that we can, in fact, cultivate a deep, real, robust gratitude for the wreckage, for what remains after the fallout of the story. Guys, I think once we can redefine what good actually means, then we can embrace the word that I wrote that bears this podcast name. The word is called good hard. It's one word, not two. Good hard. G-O-O-D-H-A-R-D. It's one. And that's all of our lives. In case you didn't know, life is always both good and hard at the very same time. Those are not mutually exclusive. They coexist. It's called life on earth. Nothing will ever be just good or just hard till we're in heaven one day. And we live in that deep tension of the good, hard life. We just don't see it that way. And if we did, we would live differently. You know, when suffering comes, we don't tend to recognize this is all part of the good, hard life I'm living on earth. It will include extreme challenges, but I can do this because Jesus is in the story with me. You know, sometimes we just kind of have to get our soul back on board. The beautiful truth of Psalm 42:5, where we see the psalmist get his soul back on board and then go. Psalm 42:5 says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I will again praise him, my rock and my salvation." So we literally see David say, guess what? I'm not feeling it in my head, but here's what we're doing. We're going. The soul is greater than the feelings in this moment. And we get our soul back on board. And that's a game changer. When we can tell our own heads and hearts, this is a good, hard life I am living. I think we can engage it differently. You know, I don't know if you've ever thought of your life as an assignment, but I think that changes how we see our stories, our lives. When I can think, I'm on assignment from God for this story, and I gotta live this story really well, whatever it looks like, whatever the specific boundary lines of my story look like, I'm going to live them very, very well and honor God who assigned them to me. I think that's a game changer. That is the truth of Psalm 16:6, that the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places, that somehow it's pleasant. It's good. Somehow this mess, this wreckage that's here, the remains of the fallout are beautiful and pleasant, and God is here in this. My dear friend, Jess Conley, who you previously heard in this season of the podcast, said so beautifully, and it has changed my life, that she and her husband, when something was just dying at their house, like some plant was just chronically dying, they put it in a different place, and the sun shone on it, and guess what? Things grow here. And that started to be sort of their mantra. Things grow here. Out of the ashes many times. Things grow here. And I know for a fact that so many of us need to say that to our own hearts. That yes, even now, even after, things grow here. And the reality is, since God is unchanging, we know he is the giver of all gifts and the healer of all of our broken hearts and the restorer of everything. We can trust that somehow his ways for us are, you guessed it, good. Somehow there is goodness in the story from God himself. I feel like I hear so much these days about how God won't give you more than you can handle. And that always just almost makes me laugh at this point, because yes, he will. He will give you more than you can handle. I believe it's so that he can handle it. In our weakness, he is strong. He is at work in our story. So yeah, it's more than me can handle. And guess what? It feels really, really terribly hard and painful. But there is goodness, and God is at work, and we can trust that. You know, I hear so much these days about capacity, capacity, capacity. I just don't have capacity. I can't handle this. I don't have capacity for that. But the reality is, with Jesus in the story with you, you have tremendous capacity for the hardest parts of your story. God is with you, and he is never leaving. And he will supply all of your needs. In fact, it says in 2 Peter 1:3 that his divine power has given you everything that you need, that everything he gives is enough. It meets every need. We are not beyond capacity. We are with God on the team at capacity. We can handle our lives no matter how hard and how painful they are. And I say that so incredibly tenderly because, I mean, it's easy to say, yeah, you have capacity for that broken nail and you can get your nail repaired and whatever. It's a little different when you're telling a mother who's had to bury their child that they have capacity. And there are seasons and there is so much time and grace for healing. And I don't ever recommend exploding truth on people when it's not time. You know, there is tremendous ministry of tears, ministry of presence, much more than ministry of exploding scripture and all of your incredibly wise insights. No, I think so much of truly ministering is about timing. It's about knowing when it's the time. So don't go explode somebody who has capacity to handle the death of their child last week. That's nuts. That's completely not what I'm saying in the least. But I do think very tenderly we can call people out of sort of a victimhood. And I mean that. You know, victim. And I want to say, before I say anything about victims, there are victims. There are people who are victims of just so much awful, tragic, I mean, things like domestic abuse. And I'm not remotely talking about any of those real victims. But I can tell you, at least for me, I am not the victim of my story. I am the overcomer of my story. I am more than a conqueror in this story. And I believe the same is absolutely true for you, that you can be the overcomer of your story. You guys may remember a popular worship song from a few years ago where some of the lyrics say, "Oh, you're never gonna let me down. Oh, you're never gonna let me down." You've probably heard that song. I won't go on, although you're probably enjoying this fabulous vocals. And that song always rubs me so wrong because I just know too much. I know too many people who would be so hurt because they have felt very, very let down by what has happened to their lives. They feel very much like, okay, God, you have very much let me down. You have very much hurt my feelings. And I really wrestled with that God did let me down. And ultimately, in my very lowest moments, I can remember even wondering if God made a mistake by leaving me here on earth in this broken body that didn't work and to this day doesn't fully work. Back in 2008, I had a very clear moment before I could eat, before I could stand up, obviously before I could walk at all, of just wrestling with God, like, did you make a mistake here? Should I have died? If I would have died, could Jay have married a quote-unquote normal woman? Could James have a quote-unquote normal mother? And I don't fit in this world. This world is not going to work for me. This life is not going to work for me. And very clearly, in those horrific low moments, that I really wanted to buy into and believe many, many lies, honestly. A deep lie that this was a mistake and a deep lie that if God was even real, which I was unsure in those moments, that he just didn't care and clearly wasn't at work. And in those terrible, deep moments of just wanting to believe the lies, I was overwhelmed that I could not believe these lies, but instead I would have to, even though I didn't want to in those moments, believe a deeper truth, a lot of truths that I'd known since I was a child, that God doesn't make mistakes. That I could almost hear, in my head at least, I call it my deep awakening of scriptures in my own head and heart, where I almost felt like God was talking to me and saying, Catherine, you are not a mistake because I don't make mistakes. I know better than you know. I'm God. You're not. Somehow, Catherine, this is all part of what I am doing in your story. So you can hold on through this deep, terrible pain. You can trust me. And I would love to say that after really feeling the impact of just those connected thoughts of, oh, wait, so I'm reminded of Psalm 139 that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, the AVM was in my mom's womb where I was. It was in my brain in my mother's womb before I was born, where I was fearfully and wonderfully created by my creator, that Romans 8:28 is true, that all things somehow are working together, that I'm a masterpiece, that Ephesians 2:10 is true. Ultimately, that this Ephesians 4:1, that I'm called to live a life worthy of the calling that I've received. And I would love to say that after sort of that like scripture dump on my life, in my head, in my heart, that changed everything. And it totally didn't. It didn't change anything in terms of the physical world, but it did change just about everything in terms of my head and my heart. Because I think I started to tap into this notion that I'm now currently obsessed with, that God's goodness is not dependent on my situation, and that regardless of all the not yet working things, all the components of life that were really bad, and honestly many that are still kind of bad, that God's goodness is inside of me and is unchanging no matter my situation. And I want to make it real clear, now I'm 15 years out from the stroke. So I have some years and some perspective on my deep pain. And I've only begun probably to make sense of the reality of what's happened here. And I'll probably spend the rest of my life trying to unpack what happened to me as a 26-year-old girl and the what now. And yet, if I were waiting in the corner to get well before sharing, before talking and praying and processing and just giving what I got to the world, then I would be storing up so much goodness that God longs to reveal through me. And I don't want to live that way. I don't know about you, but we need to be more generous with what we do got, which maybe sometimes doesn't feel like a lot. But when we internalize that the goodness of God is inside of us, if we know Jesus, it does change our ability to give and go. And that changes how we feel. It fuels us. I believe the best thing that Jay and I could have ever done after the stroke was start sharing about it. Because in sharing and in ministering and in reaching into other people's lives, your soul is so fed, and you are telling each other the same story of how God shows up. He meets needs. It's the beautiful truth of 2 Corinthians 1 that we comfort others with the comfort that we ourselves have received. And it's the cycle that we start giving comfort and giving comfort and giving comfort. And we are given comfort. And it's this beautiful picture of we are fueled and filled and equipped with everything that we need to minister. And then we are filled up. And you got to try it. It's kind of an addictive cycle of giving the goodness of God away to other people. Anyway, these have just been a few recent rantings. And I hope perhaps they have blessed you. I don't know your story, listener. I don't know the reality that you are walking through. There may be some deep pain in your story. There may be some things that have just really not worked out or are unresolved in your story. You know, I have plenty that is connected to my stroke and subsequent disability that is hard, very hard. But I have life. That's hard. Anyway, being Catherine Wolfe without any stroke or any disability would still equal some life stuff, some hard things. And that is probably true of every single person on the planet. You know, I probably asked at least, you know, 200-300 times in various rooms I've been in, if anyone in the audience, life is perfect, would they please raise their hand? And y'all, there has never been a single hand. It's fascinating. Every human being I have ever encountered has pain and problems. Everyone. And I like to say that we all share the same story of suffering, but it is just a different brand of brokenness. And I think that's the truth. It's all different, but it's all the same. We've all got hurt this side of heaven, and we have to know what to do with it, how to manage it. And I hope maybe this can be a little bit of a tool in your backpack, that as we can redefine good, it can change everything. And I believe we can survive anything when we learn to redefine everything. God bless you, friend. Thank you for joining us on the Good Hard Story podcast. To learn more about what we are doing, follow us on Instagram at Hope Heals. Check out all things Hope Heals at hopeheals.com. Don't forget to subscribe to this wherever you get podcasts, and please feel free to share this episode with somebody who needs to hear it. Good Hard Story Podcast is a production of Good Hard Story, LLC. It is produced and edited by Leah Case and Mary Austin Hall. And I am your fearless and fabulous host, Catherine Wolf. Come back and join us every week where we believe that the good story and the hard story can be the very same story. With you and for you, friend.